This edition of Culture with Robert Bound was first broadcast on the 22nd of June 2015 on Monocle 24. Hello and welcome to Culture with me, Robert Bound. This week is the first in a series of Monocle guides to the summer, where we'll be calling on our cultural experts for the hottest art tips, the best poolside reads, and the summer blockbusters to keep on your radar over the next few months. On today's show, I'm joined by Luke Turner, Associate Editor at The Quietus, and Fiona Stewart, Director of the Green Man Festival, to go over the gems in this year's music festival calendar. Plus, our roving reporter in Spain, Liam Aldous, will give us the lowdown on this year's Sonar Festival in Barcelona. That's all coming up here on Culture with me, Robert Bounds. And I'm joined in the studio by Luke Turner, Associate Editor at The Quietus, and Fiona Stewart, Director of Green Man Festival. Welcome both to the programme. What we're trying to do is create a festival vibe, or wonder what a fantastic, perfect festival vibe is. Fiona, I'll come to you first, actually, as the director of Green Man Festival, a festival that's grown hugely in reputation. How did you know when you'd sort of got it right, when it clicked, that festival?
I think everything has to come together, but you get a kind of a festival vibe where everyone's got happy face, you know, the artists are really happy, then everything's moving well, and there's a kind of excitement involved in a successful event that you just don't get anywhere else. It really is, you know, the stars are aligned.
And it's that the idea, presumably, that creating the right buzz, the right vibe, the right lineup, all the elements, all the sort of, you know, the witchcraft that goes into making a fantastic festival, presumably, it has to seem effortless, though, right? You don't want to appear like the swan that is serene on the surface of the water while its little legs are paddling like crazy underneath.
No, absolutely, it does, and you owe it to the audience and the artist and everyone who goes there. I mean, there's, unlike lots of entertainment, this is live. There's no rehearsal. It has to start and finish. You'll always know that there'll be something that has gone wrong in the background. I think most festivals, something goes wrong. But no, people must never see it. And we do have a policy which everyone goes into, really. And we all know each other that, you know, if we do have something, sometimes you see kind of a worried face across someone's back. But, you know, and generally things go well. I work with a really good team of people who've been doing it for a long time and they're very committed to it. So it's sort of, you know, I'm waiting for time I can wield on in a gin bath and just say, start, let it be so.
And start then the fans, please.
Yeah, exactly. But it's not quite there yet, but I'm hoping it will be one day.
And Luke, as a storied festival goer yourself, there's presumably a point at every festival you just hope it's going to be as good as it was the time before. If it's a new one for you, whether you're reviewing or simply going as a fan, when you're wondering whether it's all going to work out okay. When is the sort of golden point in a festival for you where you know that everything has clicked? As far as Fiona's concerned, the stars have aligned themselves happily that weekend.
I think it's usually just after the sun goes down. That's always a nice time at a festival. We've been involved with quite a few over the year. And last weekend we had a partnership with Field Day in London. Yeah. And that's just gone from strength to strength. And I think with them it's like this, and with Green Man as well actually, is this attention to detail. It's having all the music, but having all this other stuff as well, like really good food. I remember the first time I went to Green Man, it was like, wow, there's an actual ale bar. You know, you don't have to just drink disgusting lager all the time. There's like nice drinks and really nice food. And Green Man were sort of pioneers of that, and then Field Day very much do that. And it just, having that level of attention to detail. I remember when I first started going to festivals, it was that sort of like Reading Festival. It was pretty, just kind of horrible greasy noodles, bad beer, lots of teenagers who've just done GCSEs or A-levels setting fire to plastic and shouting bollocks all night.
When you said lots of teenagers that have just done their GCSEs, I thought you were going to use another four-word acronym for something there. But I think I know exactly what you mean. We're trying to get away from the Phoenix in 1994, aren't we?
Yeah, I think I mean, maybe it's because I'm of advancing years and just pressing hard on middle age that I do like these smaller festivals where there's just, it's a, and there are expensive things a lot of festivals these days, and I think there's a very high competition in the market, and the festivals are really responding to that and really kind of catering for people who want to have a good time outside of music. Like, you know, like Green Man has a lot of literary yeah, the literary film stuff program. You know, so, some of my favourite things there have been seeing film soundtracks and talks and what have you. And I just really like that. And there is a difference, I suppose, between the UK festivals where it's all where it kind of tends to be outdoors, and a lot of the European ones I go to, which are often over a week and more kind of underground and arts based. And they're a very different vibe, really. It's a bit more serious, but kind of even more hedonistic in certain ways.
Yeah, we mentioned Sonar in the introduction, which has become a bit of a behemoth, and actually it's moved out of the centre of Barcelona. It's mostly out now in the sort of outskirts and in the sort of old Olympic part of the city, I think. And that was one of those things that sort of started off as an electronic arts festival, and it did have a kind of a bit of an esoteric, a bit of an arcane kind of at least structure at the beginning, or desire to be seen that way at the beginning. Why do you think there is that difference when we love standing in a field in the UK here, and often, sometimes, perhaps anyway, don't always have the perfect weather for it, whereas in Spain people are kind of like dancing around in a warehouse when the sun's shining above them. I wonder whether you can attribute different sort of festivals to different parts of the world, whether different parts of the world are good at different festivals, Luke.
Yeah, I mean, I absolutely love Sonar. I've been twice now, and they in the daytime you've got kind of, you know, thousands of people just raving in this courtyard, which is still in central Barcelona, yes, with that 90 degree sun. I don't know how they do that. I have to sort of go around the edge in the shadows. But they still have a sort of huge programme of talks and stuff about technology, and then it goes off to these huge warehouse hangars on the edge of town. I think a lot of it is the style of music, guitar bands, and the sort of heritage going back to Glastonbury. I suppose here we have had Glastonbury. No other country's really had anything quite like that, and everybody sort of that's the sort of the original, isn't it? And everybody's sort of followed on to an extent, yeah. And that's the form.
Woodstock and places like that. I mean, you know, they haven't defined it completely. It's been interesting to see how things have changed, because in fact Isle of Wight was much bigger than Glastonbury for many years. It's actually changed, and it shows you even things that have been here for decades can move forward and things can move away. I mean, you know, the Big Chill, which was an enormous festival, doesn't exist anymore. So things sometimes can be of their time.
I suppose
as well.
That sort of music as well is very much of its time, and it sort of fizzled out. One thing I wanted to ask you, Fiona, Luke was talking about sort of a market and the festivals have upped their game with the food offering, with the sort of, you know, different sorts of camping you can do, and just making, you know, the loos and stuff. I mean, the practicalities of these things. Do you feel that you are sort of part of a market? Do you walk around other festivals and research things, or do you feel that you're very much standalone? You do what you want to do there in Wales, and it's very much its own vibe.
Although I love festivals, I'm very nervous about going to them because I can't bear seeing things, other events at the Green Man. I like it to be a really, really unique thing, and the concepts on it, you know, nothing. That's why we don't have sponsorship. That's why, you know, but that's a personal decision, you know, and the way that we want it. You know, other festivals, I'm not getting on other festivals who have a different way, but that's what the kind of audience that come to the Green Man want. They want something that they're not seeing anywhere else. And I think that, more than anything, is probably the challenge now. I mean, years ago, when I was doing events, there was probably about six. I did events in the Foot and Mouth. It was 2001. There's probably about seven events going on. Now there's probably over 1,000 different kinds of events in the country. So you do have to stand out. There is massive competition, and the audience have changed a lot. They're much more sophisticated than they were, and they really want those things, and they want those experiences. And although music is very important, the other elements of the festival, if the services aren't great, those are things people remember. Like birds in the verse, what I saw through the blinds, you'd say
that I'm sane in phenomenal eyes. I wanted to move on and talk about programming stage. Luke, do you go to festivals because of the lineup, or do you go because of the atmosphere? I mean, Green Man this year, for example, there's a happy collision of Hot Chip, Super Furry Animals, St. Vincent, three acts that most people want to go and see, three quite different sorts of music as well in there. Do you get stars in your eyes still, or is it very much kind of wanting to be part of the atmosphere of the weekend?
I think so. It depends, really. There was a Primavera lineup the other year, which had kind of all of my favourite bands. Yeah. Like Pulp had got back together, Suicide were playing, Swans were playing. It was ludicrous. I think there's the best festivals are ones like Glastonbury used to be when I haven't been for years, but when when I was a young person, used to go and didn't find the whole thing a little bit too large and expensive. You wouldn't necessarily watch many bands, you'd sort of wander around, and I think that's the strength of a festival. I mean, like with Green Man, what I love about that festival is the site you've got there is beautiful. It's probably my favourite festival site in the country. And you can just sort of wander along the River Usk, it's the River Usk, is it? Down to Crickhowl, the local village, and if you're going to Green Man, get a pork pie from Crickhowl, they're amazing. And then come back with your pork pie and just potter around, listen to some talks. And it's, you're not kind of there necessarily for the big names, or you'll find something that's a complete surprise. One of my favourite ever festival gigs was when the Dirty Three played Green Man, and I think they were headlining, and people didn't really know who they were. And Warren Ellis, you know, who's also in the Bad Seeds, was very funny, and he just lifted everyone's spirits, and you could just see all these people go, who is this band? This is incredible. Yeah. And that's what you want. It's not necessarily about ticking off your favourite bands. Yeah. And that's why I do like these festivals.
What you do, and that's very much, that's more the, more maybe what you could call corporate festivals. It's top trump slightly, isn't it, with bands?
Yeah, exactly.
It's a different vibe as you get on, and you kind of, you're more there for the vibe than the acts themselves.
There's been an interesting thing this week, the Unsound Festival in Krakow in Poland, which is one of my very favourite festivals. It's kind of more electronics and sort of underground art sort of vibe, and their theme this year, they love a themed festival in Europe, and their theme was surprise, so they've not announced anyone at all, and they sold all their tickets in 12 minutes on Wednesday.
People do like a surprise.
So I think, you know, you have the people know that festival's incredible, Krakow's a great city to go to for a music festival, and they're going to trust the programmers to put something good on, and I think that's, you know, that's amazing. I mean, you could probably do that with Green Man now. You've got enough love and people, I know local people come to Green Man too, which is another good thing about it, I think.
We're going to pause for a moment now, but we'll be back after this for more festival chat with Fiona and Luke.
Top ingredients, world-class service, less foam and pretension, and honest food made with dedication. Monocle focuses on what we think really matters and launches the Monocle Restaurant Awards. Stay tuned to Monocle 24 to hear of the places we value highly, where we want to dine again and again, and where most restaurant ranking lists may not guide you to.
What does it look like? What is the vitality of this place on the street? And yes, the food has to be outstanding as well, but there are many other elements that go beyond that.
The nominees will be announced every Friday on our food and drink program, The Menu, and the winner will be announced in July. Don't miss out. Tune into The Menu every Friday at 1900 hours London time.
You're listening to Culture with me, Robert Band, and today it's our summer guide to music festivals. In the studio with me, I have Luke Turner, Associate Editor at The Quietus, and Fiona Stewart, Director of Green Man Festival. Now we're going to talk about a few more of the left field festivals happening this year. Luke, I hear you're a bit of an expert on this. We've talked about Unsound and the Surprise Edition. What other things? We buzzed around the idea of sort of Croatia, didn't we? And the sort of electronic music scene there, for example.
Yeah, I mean, Croatia's festivals are fairly established now. They tend to be a bit more kind of ravey and a bit more people getting off their nuts, I suppose.
Not GCSEs.
No, I've not been to any of the Croatian ones, but they tend to be more kind of like vaguely mainstream sort of dance music.
Yeah.
I like the really dour ones in Germany and Eastern Europe, where in power stations and things like that.
Yeah,
that's
okay.
More my kind of thing.
There's one called Atonal in Berlin, right?
Yeah. An aptly named festival. It actually has its roots in sort of quite radical political music in, I think, the 80s it started, and they revived it last year or the year before. Anyway, it's in a huge power station called Kraftwerk, which is on the river in Berlin. And it, if you know the Turbine Hall in the Tate Modern, it's about that big, possibly a little bit bigger, but with nothing in it. So you go in and it's just this giant concrete staircase with light installations, and you go into the main space, and it's just incredible. That was very much sort of quite hard electronic music for 5 or 6 days. They started with Steve Reich. I mean, by the end, I must admit, I was kind of wanting to listen to Mary Had a Little Lamb or something. I'd had so much austere electronic music from Europe that I was, it was getting a bit much. But
Star Sailor, Come Back, All Is Forgiven.
Oh, no, never. unless the furnace was still there in the power station to put them in. But they have Trezor underneath it. So, I mean, you could be at the festival from sort of 3 in the afternoon till 8 or 9 in the morning. They really put you through the grinder in these festivals. They're pretty hardcore.
I mean, we'll go back to sort of creating the vibe and when you know you've got it right and all the rest of it. But what is the atmosphere like? I mean, is that like sort of the serious business of having fun? Is that the sort of dance music you can't dance to? I mean, what's the sort of atmosphere like?
Well, it was interesting because there is quite a lot of standing seriously looking at things. Yeah. But then on the very last act was Source Direct, who are pioneers of jungle. And after all this kind of high tension, serious music, and he started just playing loads of jungle, everybody went insane. It was so much fun. I had
an incredible dance
for that. You know, there is the difference there where if you bought a ticket for Unsound, it's cost you a quite considerable amount of money. There is a sense that, you know, you have gone to that festival to be challenged, particularly this year with the theme being surprise. You know, it's kind of everybody who has got tickets, they know that they're not going to know who's playing necessarily. I think some of the performances, you're not even going to know who it is while it's happening, even if it's a really big name. And I think, you know, to go to a festival and want to be challenged in that way is really exciting, rather than standing in a field with cider and watching bands is fun on one level, but it's quite interesting to do the other as well.
Fiona, when you're programming the stages at Green Man, do you sort of take that into account as well? The fact that you want to challenge people, you want to put someone in, you want to put a curveball in, there's the right time of day to put that in. Luke was talking about that magic time when the sun goes down and there's a sort of calm descends over the festival, but it becomes also the nighttime and nightlife happens. Is there a rhythm? And I wonder what it is to programming.
I think there is. In fact, I have to admit that it's been a time since I've actually booked any events that I've been involved in. My son Ben books the Green Man now because he's younger and he's out and seeing and he's ferocious about knowing about music, and that's what you need to book a festival. But yes, you know, he's always known that you need to have a story in the way that you book and bring people through that kind of story and journey through the event in anything you do. And that's kind of when you've got that together, when you've got a situation where you can understand your audience and also understand the music's going to be played and play at a certain time and have it all coming together with the other music that's on offer as well, then yes, that's very much part of being a good festival curator.
And you try to sort of balance, I mean, you know, the Green Man started off being quite a folky festival and it's broadened its horizons very much. Is that something you sort of want to juggle? You want to show people that you're a sort of broad church in terms of your musical
tastes? Yeah, well, I mean, that's been going on for many years now, but I think there is a synergy between the music styles. They're different, but there's a quality element that's going on. So they are placed for a reason in those positions. That's also our background. Ben's background as well was a more of an electronic scene as well. You know, I am still interested in it, but you need to allow other people to get involved in that kind of thing.
Is that easy?
No.
No.
You know, sometimes it's quite difficult, but, you know, Ben's got a good ear and he's been brought up with it. I trust him to move it forward. There is a kind of a brief there. He knows that there are things. And there are things that you have to do at a festival, like because there's so many people, you have to make sure there's a bit of a division in what you're doing so that not too many people turn up in one area. So there's got to be a balance. So there's also, we have 10 different areas and 1,500 performers, not all music performers, but different styles as well. And so you have to sort of book people where there's a synergy. So it slightly splits the audience as well. So they're not, you know, you don't get 20,000 people standing in front of one stage that's with 10,000 capacity. There's a bit of a science to it too.
And let's turn to the music before we close up our festival shop for today. Where are you going this summer and who are you looking forward to seeing?
Where am I going? I'm going to a festival in Portugal called Milhões de Fiesta, I think it is.
Nice.
Two stages and loads of swimming pools, and they have one band after the other, and the Bugs playing there, who was probably the Bug at Unsound was one of the best gigs I've ever seen. So he's playing Perk, techno guy I'm really into, is playing Grumbling Fur, sort of cosmic pop band who The Quiet's released last year. They're playing. And I think that's just going to be really good fun. Apparently the crowd is amazing. And then I'm going to Incubate, again, one of my favourite festivals, which is in Tilburg, which is this sort of slightly nondescript town in the Netherlands. And it's just one of the nicest festivals I've been to. And the kind of organisers are all there pedalling around on their bikes. They're so relaxed. And they have a policy of never booking the same act twice. I mean, there's a few exceptions, but every year they pretty much completely clear the slate and just book new people, and they'll have like a whole day devoted to black metal, and then they'll have some weird installation on a pig farm, and they have loads of talks. We do a lot of panel discussions there, and it's just a really, it's a really great place. Like last time I was there, a load of us sort of from all over Europe went and had to sit in the town hall debating chamber, and because Joost, who runs the festival, is a very righteous man who's always trying to get things changed in the local area and how the Netherlands operates. And we were there having to sort of say what we thought of the area and how the town could support the festival more. And that was just really exciting. I mean, I do think that the European, these arts festivals are a massive advantage. But I think that in the UK, if you're doing these more left-field festivals, you really struggle because the arts funding is just hopeless. It's very difficult to get arts funding for interesting music festivals in Britain. You can probably get it for opera festivals and things like that. It's the same old curse that has always been. But in Europe, these festivals are very well funded by government and by towns because they know they're good for tourism.
I totally agree with you. I think it's changing. And, you know, we get Arts Council funding for our new stage now for new and emerging artists and things like that. But it's still, you tend to get, you tend to get things from organisations who you sort of think would be enablers. And in fact, they just want to have their own thing there. And I was looking, I looked at the website of the festivals that you mentioned, and there's loads and loads and loads of organisations which are, they're funding them. But if you look at the content, you don't see like a Nordic art stage or a, I don't know, whatever their particular channel, the media channel stage, or, you know, they're just supporting them. And I think that's something it would be really lovely to see in this. But I think that's where it's come from. They're much, from the beginning, these have always been commercial things in the UK, whereas they started off as art forms in Europe, really.
And just finally, before we go, Fiona, at what point will you be running your gin bath?
All the time.
How will you know? When the super furry animals, when everyone is chanting along to them, you can start turning on the taps with your toes.
Yeah, well, I'm constant, really. I've got my own supply. I think I have a laugh with it. It's great. It's good fun.
Perfect. The embodiment of festival right there. Fiona Stewart from Green Man and Luke Turner from The Quietest. Thank you very much
for chewing
the fat and the cud. Let's keep it in the Green Man zone. Well, we're nearly at the end of the show, but let's end it with a flavour of what you might expect in the field this summer. Spread over 3 days in two venues, both day and night, and with Sideshow Business and Technology Conference Sonar Plus D to boot, the team behind Barcelona's Sonar Festival are licking their wounds this week as the colossal event finished up early Sunday morning. Our correspondent Liam Aldous is currently MIA, but we know he was there because he managed to file this report sometime over that lost weekend.
It's been a long 3 days and nights, but while this crowd stood mesmerised by FKA Twigs, most probably didn't realise just how much work goes into putting on a show this big.
Well, it's big. It's gigantic sometimes.
I'm talking to festival co-director Enrique Palau, who's been bringing it all together for over 20 years.
Sonar is very diverse. It's a festival where creativity and technology meet, so this means you see a lot of shows, but also this huge Sonar Plus D Congress that is growing. There is a business section getting in as part of the content. So it's multiple angles. It's not easy to explain. It's not just a music festival. It's not just a DJ's festival. So there's many crossover situations between visual arts, music, congress, activity, business, universities, workshops, all together, which for us is just a sign of the times. This is how we perceive life is today through technology and creativity. So we, not just on the content, we feel that we need to evolve and change constantly as an event.
As Skepta and Jamie lit up the Red Bull Music Dome at Sonar Day, I snuck away to see the festival's more serious side, the technology and design-focused Sonar Plus D conference. Of all people, I bump into Kickstarter CEO Jansi Strickler.
You've just come here to give a keynote address and make a huge announcement. Why choose a festival, a music festival, to do that?
You know, I've always wanted to go to Sonar but could never afford it, so it's a way to attend quite cheaply. But yeah, I mean, Kickstarter launched here in Spain just 2 weeks ago, and we did it intentionally around Sonar, just an event that embodies so many of the things that we personally care about, and also sort of what we aspire for Kickstarter to be, a similar congregation of music, creativity, design, tech. And so, yeah, I mean, it's an amazing opportunity to get to talk here, and then, you know, tonight and tomorrow night I'll just be out till dawn, so it's gonna be great. We always enjoy being around more transgressive experiences, things that are more unique, more challenging, that are not just the same hegemonous stuff we're used to seeing everywhere. And so, yeah, Sonar Barcelona, I mean, it embodies that so perfectly. Anything for a more diverse and unique experience than just the bland corporate media we're all used to.
So what about the artists? Well, the one person everyone had in their sights was A$AP Rocky, and fresh off the heels of a chart-topping new album at long last A$AP, he pulled one of Sonar's biggest audiences. In his only interview during Sonar, I met Rocky a few minutes after stepping off stage, where he was busy getting comfortable in his green room.
Can you get some candles in here, please? Can I get a candle?
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
After personally orchestrating the lighting regime, he was eager to talk about the other revelation on his album, Joe Fox, a young singer who he found on the London streets at 4 a.m. and ended up enlisting him as a co-producer.
When I met Joe, I was midway through the album. You know, it's funny because a lot of people think that's him singing a lot of parts that I'm singing and stuff. You know, what I liked about him is he takes criticism, creative criticism, very well. He's always in student mode, and he always is willing to learn. He didn't care that I was famous. I didn't care that he was a nobody. It was just I respected an artist, a talented artist when I saw him. And I'm still prepping and shaping him to be the artist that he bigger than anyone can imagine, you know?
Is that a danger as artists, that you get kind of swept up in the festival circuit and it takes you away from the studio time, which is where you should be?
100%. 100%. Like, it gets to a point where it gets frustrating, but this tour, I was smart, man. You know, I got all my equipment with me. I got my cameras and I got my co-videographers and co-directors with me on the road, so I'm creative.
Rocky also weighed in about Monocle's quality of life survey, and you'll never guess which city he's championing to get on that list.
Mayfair in London, just because the energy is so royal. On top of that, I love the way the architecture looks, the synergy and the chemistry. I mean, forget about it, but most of all, I just think it's amazing. Like, I just love it. I recorded my whole album there, you know?
Is there something about the people, or is it...
It's everything about the people. The people are amazing.
You're a New Yorker, and you go to London, you go to Paris a lot. What is it about those cities that you love, that keeps you coming back there?
Those places are like New York, man. They're lovable cities to begin with. It's hard to not love them, you know? But for me, London really stuck with me. I guess the architecture is so similar to New York City. Well, I guess New York City architecture is similar to London in so many ways. You know, it just feels nostalgic to me for some reason. I can't explain it.
So that's what it is that attracts you to a city, just the architecture? There's nothing else that you look for?
Nah, like I told you, the energy, the people. I love the cloudy gloominess. I love London, man.
Would you ever move to London?
Of course. I'm trying to move to London. It's just so damn expensive.
So that doesn't make sense to me that you're saying that?
It makes a lot of sense. I can't afford everything in the world.
Well, even A$AP Rocky says London is expensive.
Very expensive. Not expensive, very expensive. And I quote.
For Monocle, for yet another edition of the Sonar Festival in Barcelona, I'm Liam Alders.
You've been tuned in to Culture on Monocle 24. My producer was live for one night only, Holly Fisher. Join us again at the same time next week. But for the time being, I've been Robert Bound. Thank you very much for tuning in.